YR. Monitoring. Anybody monitoring the repeater? 4YR. Anybody monitoring the repeater?
GR. Mobile. My name's Tom. Just got in the truck.
Name here's Jimmy. I think you and I had a little QSO here the other day. Call sign here is November 4 Yankee Romeo. And I think you and I had a QSO the other day. Top of the morning to you, sir. Good to hear you.
Well, I'm just loading up the wife here and some mass consumables, some ingles, and getting ready to back out and head towards home, Jimmy. How's your day?
It's doing good. Me and my fiance, we went out of town over the weekend, rode down to Charleston, South Carolina, and I come home with my right leg's got the doggone case of gout in it, so I've got to call the doctor, and he's got me a prescription called in. I tell you, that gout, if you've never had it, hope and pray you don't ever get it.
I had it. Where'd that car go that was behind me, Bernice? You going? I guess so. I gotta be careful here backing out, Jimmy. I got it in my big toe on my, I think it's my left toe. Anyways, my left foot's all screwed up anyway, so it might as well ride along. If I eat anything like fish or shrimp like we just bought, North Carolina fresh caught shrimp, it swells up and it hurts. But I had a friend back in Kansas I worked with, and he worked in the tool room, and I was an electrician, and he'd get to where he couldn't even walk with it.
Tell you what, I've had it before too. I've had it in my left toe and my right toe, and I haven't had it now in about 10 years or so, but I had a real bad flare-up. But I tell you what, it is really bad. I told my future bride here this morning, I said, I'm just going to get on the radio and get my mind off of it. But the doctor called me in a prescription, so I go to the VA hospital up there in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm a Vietnam veteran, by the way, and served in the United States Marine Corps. Got a whole bunch of medals over there that we didn't want. Got 3 Purple Hearts and a bunch of other medals. But anyway, they're going to call me something in down here to the local pharmacy. So maybe if I can get that medicine and get it inside of me, maybe it'll help me out here to kind of warn it off. But Tom, certainly good to hear you again this morning. Your mobile sounds great.
This is NZLTR Mobile. Thank you, Jimmy. Well, semper fi, sir. And as we always said, those medals and the quarter get you a cup of coffee back then. And God bless you for your service, and especially those Purple Hearts. Those are something else. I was in the Navy and in a nice air-conditioned airplane, and we did not get shot at very rarely. They lob some mortars at the runway now and then if you had to board up north or something for some reason, but it was a rarity, so I certainly was no hero like you.
Appreciate the kind and considerate words, but I don't consider myself as a hero, but I went over and done what my country asked me to do. I was a gunny sergeant. Matter of fact, we didn't even have I won't get into the Vietnam thing, but we were so short on officers and lieutenants and first lieutenants and captains, and NCOs really run the Marine Corps. From an E4 to an E8, we're the backbone of the Marine Corps, non-commissioned officers. But, I was an honor guard up. I went over to Vietnam. I was at 8th and 9th. I did all the spit and polish up there where you see those Marines up there in the White House duty, and yeah, we did all of that, but being an 0311, my MOS, we had to go to Vietnam. They cut orders for Westpac. So anyway, that was an experience. The last Purple Heart I got, we were landing on Hill 55 to offload on a Chinook helicopter, and the chopper took a direct hit, and it was 13 of us on it, and I think about 5 of us made it off alive. So anyway, glad to be here, and I thank my good Lord that I'm still live and kicking there, Tom. N4YR.
N0TR. Wow, that's quite an experience. Well, I was at Cameron Bay, South Vietnam, and if we aborted, it usually was up at Chu Lai, and that's the only place that you'd ever get shot at, but it was a rarity. And they would lob mortars at the runway and that, but we would leave rather abruptly because we were totally unarmed. Nothing like you guys. And Chad on here, KO4NUE, he was Sergeant Major in, I think, 3 tours in Iraq. And, oh my, I respect you guys entirely. These people up in front of me are just sitting there texting on their phone. That makes me happy. And the lights green. I woke them up. But, I would have to say this, it's a very good place to be from, Jimmy, no doubt about that.
Tell you what, Tom, I went into, they drafted me actually in the Army in 1967, and I've always wanted to be a Marine. My uncle, I had 2 uncles, they served, and I'm kind of like from a Marine Corps family, and I never forget it. They tried to put me in the Army, and this old sergeant, I went and took my physical and got all my paperwork done. He kind of tickled me. He said, "Well, you sit down here," and I said, "Well, what are you guys going to do with me now?" He said, "Well, the only thing that we're going to do with you now is when you get sworn in, you'll be officially in the Army, and you're going to be going to Fort Jackson, South Carolina." And I said, "Now, wait a minute." I said, "I don't want to go in the Army." I said, "I want to become a Marine." He said, "Well, that's tough. You going in the Army." Let me unkey. I hate to time out a repeater. But anyway, Tom, to make a long story short, I seen this Marine Corps recruiter go down the hallway, and boy, I jumped up and went to his desk, and I said, "Hey, Sarge," I said, "this guy down here is trying to put me in the Army, and I don't want to be no Army." I said, "I want to be in like you. I want to be a Marine." He said, "Well, where's your paperwork?" And I said, "I don't know." So he put me in this little old room, and he said, "Now, if Jesus Christ walks by this door and calls your name, don't you answer him." I said, "Okay." So about 10 minutes went by, and it seemed like it was an hour. He come back and had my paperwork up under his arm, and he said, "You know, back then you had to make so much on your exam, and you had to be so tall, and a lot of things that you had to, require in order to become a Marine." And so he carried me down this hallway, and to make a long story short, I got sworn into the Marine Corps, and this Army Sergeant, he kept calling my name down the hallway. So that Marine Corps recruiter went down and told him, said, "He ain't going in the Army. He's already a Marine." And boy, they got into it on account of a quota. You know, they had a quota. But about 2 weeks later, I got an envelope in the mail, and it says, "From the Department of the Navy." And I said, "Oh, my God, they have put me in the Navy."
No, one department. My esteemed cousin, both of them were full-blood colonels in the Army. One of them was 82nd Airborne. And T.A., he's a lawyer down in Florida, and he always said, we were in the male part of the Navy Department, Tom. And, you know, you always got to dig each other a little bit. At any rate, yeah, my brother worked at the Military Personnel Command, and him and I went to Vietnam together. I was just an E-5, but he got out as a Master Chief, and he worked at the Pentagon for like, well, at the Military Personnel Command for 9 years up there before he retired, and then he went back to work for the same admiral 6 months later. But he stayed in for the whole 20 years, actually 18 and a half, and then got out because he had some good time coming. And I didn't. I wanted to be with Mama. But every time I'd look over that fence in boot camp at San Diego, Jimmy, and I'd see those Marines over there, and I'd look up to the sky, and I'd say, thank you, Lord, kind of like those football players do.
Oh, man, November 4, Yankee Romeo. Yeah, boy, I tell you, the Marine Corps was pretty tough when I went in 67. Matter of fact, it was so bad down at Parris Island, South Carolina, when I went into recruit training. We lost some Marines down there in quicksand, recruits, that is, and we had those drill instructors that came out of Korea that stayed in the Corps, and boy, I'm telling you what, Tom, those guys were totally unhuman. They were, I mean, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. 3 days at Parris Island, honestly, I thought that my body could not survive that. Mentally, physically, and I was pretty tough. I mean, you know, physically, I was in great shape. But, man, I'm going to tell you what, I could tell you some stuff they done to us at Parris Island. It was just unbelievable. But, well, one thing about the Marine Corps, it's a brotherhood that I was, me and my fiance, we were down at a restaurant. This guy come in and had a Marine Corps hat on. I said, Semper Fi. He forgot everybody. He came in the door with like 8 or 10 people, you know, wives and girlfriends. He left his whole party and came over there and shook my hand, and he said, Semper Fi back to you, Marine. So that's the brotherhood that we have that is unstainable. We take a lot of pride in being a Marine.
Well, you should. Yeah, these guys nowadays, they don't know how it was when they go in now compared to what it was back then. We had Nordrum, BT-1, Bullet Tender 1. He was a first class. And I won't say what a first class Alpha Hotel was, but that's what he was. And he hit us, and he liked to beat a Filipino to death one night. And I'd have to tell you that. It's a long story. And we had quite a few Filipinos, and they'd earned their citizenship that way. That was back in 66 or so. And I'll tell you, they were meaner than a junkyard dog, but I went to school up in Pennsylvania, Derry, Pennsylvania, on a CNC lathe, and to a variable frequency, well, one variable frequency at the time, it was an SCR drive on a spindle. And there was a sergeant who flew back with me on U.S. Air, and he was getting out, and I said, why are you getting out? He had quite a few years in, and he started telling me about boot camp, and then now they got a stress card, and it's worn with your dog tags, I guess, and he says, and if the DI's screaming at you, you just hold that up, and he's got to stop. My God, they get so close to our face screaming and that, and they were spitting in your face and everything else, and 2 days. But I went to, let me drop this. I went to survival school at Warner Springs. I was in a flight crew, and those were Marines, officers, and enlisted when we went through survival school up in the mountains. And I'll have to tell you, Jimmy, and this might hurt your feelings, but they hollered just as loud as we did about the treatment up there in that prison camp.
For a while, yeah, I tell you what there, Tom. I'll never forget the Marine Corps in my experience in the Corps. Yeah, I've seen the times that we had our senior drill instructor. I was in Force Recon. And when I went out to Okinawa, well, we'd done some training with the SEALs off the coast of California there, because I was in the Force Recon. We'd done some water survival training with them. And then we went on to Okinawa. I know you probably heard of a dog patch out there, a dog patch. But I'm going to tell you what, we train with some rocks. We train with some rocks. I know you know what rocks are. And boy, those guys were unhuman, just totally unhuman. But I'll never forget the experience that I had at Parris Island, South Carolina, as a recruit. Honestly, Tom, I'll tell you the truth. I've seen the times that I believe I would have been down. I would have really enjoyed going down where the devil's got the pitchfork and stayed with him just to get some relief. But, boy, I'm going to tell you what. They told us at Parris Island you'll earn every stitch of that uniform, that Marine Corps uniform, and I want you to know I earned it. But I had some great duty in the Marine Corps. I went on to 8th and I, spit and polish. I was there at 8th and I barracks, and then I stayed there for right at a year and went over to the Tet Offensive, 68. Got off a Chinook there at Anwar, and old Haiti broke loose. And this old top, he was first sergeant. He got us out there filling body bags and putting them in reefers. But I won't go there no more. That's kind of a gross thing. But old Gunny looked at me, and the old top looked at me. He said, I was an E-4 at the time. He said, Corporal? He said, welcome to Vietnam. I said, thank you, Top. I appreciate it. He said, I know you're really going to enjoy it.
This is NGLTR. Yeah, my dad was a railroader, and I remember him bringing the flag-draped coffins back. We went down to the engine room in Kansas City where he changed clothes and everything. I rode up on the passenger train with him, and they were bringing back the coffins from Korea still covered in flags, and it was the first I'd seen that, and then I saw it in Vietnam with some body bags and helicopters and that, but thank God I wasn't shot at, but that much. But it's a trying time. But I've been to Wake Island and Midway. We just refueled there and stayed one night at one of those two. I can't remember now. It's been too many years ago, Jimmy. But we went to, I was running radar, and we went to Naha, Okinawa. You know, I do remember hearing in my headset, Kadena, Kadena, Kadena. And I think it's Kadena Air Force Base. And we go up there and practice mining runs. And I've been there, and then to the Philippines, to Sangley Point, and then to South Vietnam. Yeah, I remember going to Washington, D.C. I went to another school up there and went out and watched the old guard at Arlington, and that's something you'll never forget in your life, and that gives you a deep, abiding respect for what these spit and polish Marine Corps guys go through. But the wife and I, we were president of the Band Boosters, and we took somewhere between 120 or 140 students from the high school on their senior trip to Washington. They got to play on the steps of the White House there. And meet Senator Dole and that. He come out and greeted us because he was from Kansas and we were from Kansas at the time. But I'll tell you, those kids rode up 10 years after they went. They went out there, and there comes our mail lady. But it's quite a trip. We also took them to the oldest fort in the United States Marine Corps there in, I guess, Washington, D.C. We was on a bus, but I can't remember the name of that, Jimmy. And we got to see the silent drill team work out there. That's something you'll never forget either. It's in Gerald T.R.
You are in for a while. Yeah, I tell you, Tom, well, when I was up there, I was at 8th and 9th. I was in Special Guard. The CIA and FBI would go in and debug a room in the Pentagon, and we had to stay as a sentry at the door. We had passwords that would change from time to time, and nobody walked past you without that password. So, yeah, I was at 8th and 9th, Special Guard, Henderson Hall, and, but, yeah, I got the honor one time to meet Chesty Puller, my hero. He was a Marine's Marine, and waved him through Henderson Hall. I was on the main gate and got to wave him through Henderson Hall. He was a special general. Came from a buck private all the way to a general. He was a Marine Corps hero. He was just about like our bulldogs, you know, the devil dogs. But well, Tom, I won't tie this up. I know we've been on here having a QSO, and it's certainly a pleasure on my end to get to sit here and write to you, Widgie. And we'll let you go. And like I said, it don't mean that. I certainly appreciate, you know, the club or the trustee letting us use the repeater. So, Tom, I'll pass it back to you for a final and say 73's to you and have a great day. I'll let you put the ribbons on it. N4YR.
Okay, Jimmy, fine business. Well, it's the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and it is a great repeater. I belong to that club, and I don't go to meetings. I'm 75 years old, and it's a little rough to get out at times, but they got a lot of good people down there. And the Greer Amateur Radio Club does, too, and the SCDXA's got another club here. But, Jimmy, that fort that I was talking about was built in 1775 or something like that. Do you remember what that was? The silent drill team and the president's orchestra, we got to go in and set in a rehearsal with that, the United States Marine Corps silent drill team and the United States Marine Corps orchestra. It was fabulous. And do you remember the name of that fort? I can see that gate in my mind just as clear as a bell.
I was going to reply to that, but I was sitting here trying to think of what the name of the fort was. I know the one you're speaking of, but I never was affiliated with it because I was at Henderson Hall, and we changed the flag of the Iwo Jima flag there, and we were stationed in the Pentagon, and we done the White House lawn, and when the you see the president land on Marine Corps One, or should I say Marine Corps chopper, we stood on each side of the gateway, and when the president comes down, I did all that duty, but I was trying to rack my brain, Tom, and I probably could Google it. I could probably Google it and find out what the name of it was, but I know what you're saying, and I know what you're talking
about. You know, I'm just reminiscing. We probably got pictures of it, don't we, Mom? I don't know for sure. But that silent drill team, my God, that was something to see. I never, you know, all of the services have their own drill team, but, oh, wow, those Marine Corps guys were absolutely phenomenal and did things with full bayonets on those things. There was two of them I remember separated by oh, so many feet, and back to back flip those M1 Garands end over end. And we were taught when we were drilling in the Navy, you didn't want to hear snap, snap whenever, you know, you were doing your drills, and that you wanted to hear one crisp snap. And if you didn't, somebody was screaming at you. And boy, when those guys caught that rifle end over end with their backs to each other, you heard one snap. And another one, he broke the forearm or something, and he hit it so hard. And they had a routine for coming out. I mean, he stopped dead while they were doing their routine. And they had some guys over to the side that come out there just as crisp and clean as you ever seen. They had a routine for picking that up and getting that man back in the formation without missing a beat. It was precision at its best, I'll tell you, Jimmy. But that was... I think one of the most memorable thing was there was some poor guy, as we walked in, and he was down on his hands and knees with his toothbrush cleaning between the bricks, Jimmy. The good old days. Well, I hope your gout feels better, and I hope I helped to improve it, and it was my pleasure to talk to you today, Jimmy. N4YR, N0TR, 73.
It certainly was a pleasure. I'll Google that when I get back in the house. I don't have my phone with me. And, I'll definitely Google that and find out what it was. I know for a fact that I probably, I was trying to rack my brain and see if I could remember it. But I do remember, what you're talking about where they practice the silent drill team. I had it right on my tongue a while ago, but I just couldn't come up with it. But next time we have a QSO, I'll come up with it. There was a, it seemed like to me there was a barracks, but I don't know, I just can't come up with the name. Can't come up with the name. Well, Tom, have a good day, and it's certainly been a pleasure. And I'll say 73s. N4YR, Mobile clear.
73, Jimmy.
We're talking about Fort McHenry in Maryland, by any chance, are you? KA2TXJ.
You know, we was on a tour bus, so I just can't remember. We had 100 and some students in the high school band, and we were touring Washington, D.C., but where that tour bus went, it could have been Maryland. I guess it's awfully close right there.
Well, it is one of the oldest forts. I just wanted to jump in and say it's been a pleasure listening to you two guys talk virtual history in the making. So just wanted to comment, KA2TXJ. Always a pleasure listening to people on this machine.
KA2TXJ, 73s, then thank you. Pleasure's all mine, sir. And we got to get out and unload groceries. Send 0TR clear.
Very good. Take care.
RK5WLF Mobile. Good afternoon, Tom and Miss Bernice. Have a good day. Go get those groceries.
I got some donuts in there even that I probably shouldn't have, Leroy. I hope you're having a good day, Leroy. I'll say hi to you. What are you up to? And then I got to get in.
A quick meeting with a convention place that we may be holding our annual meeting at in January next year, so we'll just check it on some prices. But yeah, on the donuts, I won't tell if you don't tell. Talk to you later, 73. Have a good day, sir. N0TRK5WLM Mobile.
Yeah, you tell Dr. Yusuf, I'll trade you foot today. It's about a 7 on a scale of 10, Leroy. I'm going to do that thing. Wow. It just hurts and hurts and hurts. And I got brand new inserts, and he's wonderful. So it ain't his fault. I think it's this rare disease, AGE. K5WLL, 73, Leroy.
The monitor, N4YR.
They were getting out to go grocery shopping when they signed over.
Well, thank you, sir. I certainly appreciate you relaying that message there to me. Yeah, the name here is Jimmy. Yeah, I think I found the name of that barracks he was asking me about. The Marine Corps barracks up there in Washington, D.C. But anyway, good morning to you. Name here is Jimmy. We're located over here in Greenville, South Carolina, right off of Highway 14 over here on the south side, not too far from Simpsonville. I guess, what is your QTH?
From Edwards Road, Baxter Taylor's. I live in Taylor's off East Lee. Name here is Leroy. We met Edgar Romeo Oscar Yankee. Call us Kilo Alpha 5 Whiskey, Lee Molina, KE5 WML. But yeah, I was listening to y'all a little while ago, and when y'all had finished up, he was getting ready to get out to go grocery shopping. So they should be back probably, I don't know, 30 minutes or so.
Okay, Leroy, I certainly appreciate you coming back and letting me know. Yeah, we just got in from Charleston, me and my fiance. I actually live in Fancy Gap, Virginia, and me and my fiance, we go back and forth from my home back here to Greenville to her home, so we're kind of back and forth. But just wanted to tell you, too, you might have heard me on here. I put up a 6-meter FM repeater over here on Paris Mountain. You're certainly welcome to use it if you ever have any need to. If you're interested, I'll certainly be glad to give you the frequencies on it, Leroy.
I don't currently have 6-meter FM capability right now, but I have heard about the repeater at Esther, and I think we even got the frequency posted on the local Blue Ridge Facebook group here. So and I know it's got a PL of 100 on it, but... Yeah, sir. I'm a treasurer for Blue Ridge Radio Club, and we made an announcement at the meeting last month, and then I know it's on the made announcement on the repeater there.
Well, we certainly in the club too. I want to try to come and attend one of your club meetings, and I'm like I said, I'm from Fancy Gap, Virginia. And I used to have that for about 26 years. And they got a new general manager up there on Mount Mitchell that they really don't particularly like to have ham radio up there on their... he had to move off about 8 years ago. And I think Randy Johnston that took over the 2-meter repeater up there, he had to move it over on Pisgah Mountain. So... This machine here seems to have some great coverage, and I understand it's over on Caesar's Head. Now, is Caesar's Head, is it located in North Carolina or South Carolina, Leroy?
Head is actually located right on the border of North and South Carolina. If you're going up 276 or Gear Highway, it's right there at the top of the mountain. And our repeater is actually located just off of Caesars Mountain. It's on the WYFF Channel 4 tower at the about 3,500-foot elevation mark. I think it's about 350 feet up on their tower or something like that, give or take 100 feet. But it does have a good coverage range for running about 25 watts. But we know we can talk up into Charlotte and down into parts of Georgia and into North Carolina quite a bit. But for what it is, it's got great coverage range over.
Absolutely. I'm fascinated with the coverage it's got. Yeah, I put mine up. Mine is coordinated over on Paris Mountain, the 6-meter, and it don't really have that. I mean, it's 2,000 feet of elevation. I mean, it's good for Greenville, South Carolina, and maybe a couple of these surrounding counties, but it don't really, it's not in a really a good location. But, you know, I've been dating my fiancée down here for over a year, and I told her, I said, well, I'm just going to talk to some people and get permission to put my repeater up over here on Parrish Mountain. But it does a good job, you know, under the circumstances, but it don't have the coverage that this machine's got. Now, I have four other repeaters up in Virginia. I have a Fusion up there, and I have a 220, and I have another 6 meter up there, and a 2 meter. But I've been in the repeater business, I say, about 45 years, and I love to play around with these FM repeaters. But, yeah, this machine, it seemed like to me, I used to talk years ago to a couple guys that had a 6 meter repeater on Caesar's Head. Is that repeater still located up there, that 6 meter repeater? Do you know of, Leroy?
Sure, not offhand. I don't know if it's still, I don't believe it's still active. I haven't heard anybody talk about it for a while. I think I know the one you're talking of, though, but I don't believe that repeater's still active at this point. But, yeah, our secondary repeater, the 8-2 machine, 14682, is up on Parrish Mountain. It's up on the Channel 16, the WGDS tower up on Parrish. And that one has our auto patch on it. It's not used as much anymore, but that one still has a working auto patch on it.
What I was thinking, in for a while, that you guys had an 8-2 machine up there. There's a 14682 in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. It's up there on a big high mountain, and it's got some coverage, too. Belongs to Stony Breaker. He's a good friend of mine. But, yeah, I tell you what, I remember years ago when FM repeaters first took off, I built my first repeater with Hamtronic's parts. I just made my own exciter, receiver, PA board. I made everything. But that was back when you couldn't pick up a catalog and order what you want. If you wanted to put something together, you had to physically build it. I used to go out to Tentec in Sevierville, Georgia, and buy some parts and stuff out there, and I built a lot of exciters and a lot of controllers and all kind of stuff like that. But that's been many, many years ago there, Leroy. In for a while.
Sir, that was the days where you couldn't just go and buy off the shelf. You either had to design your own or modify it from either military or commercial parts. Anyways, I'm back at the house now, and I need to get out of here, so it was good talking to you. Our meetings, I know you said you want to come to our meetings, but they meet the first Monday of every month at 7 p.m., and we have now gone to where we have a dual live and Zoom meeting, so usually the invitation gets put out there either on the Facebook group or by email. I don't know if you're a member yet, but yeah, down at the Red Cross in Greenville downtown, 940 Grove Road is where we meet out for live meetings, and then obviously we have a Zoom meeting that goes on simultaneously, or tries to. We just now initiated. Anyways, good talking to you, Jimmy. We'll talk to you down the log, and I'll let you go for now. 7-3, Kilo Alpha 5, Whiskey Lima Lima, be clear.
Been my pleasure, sir. Been my pleasure. Yeah, we want to try to attend one of those meetings, and definitely. And yeah, I tell you what, I told Tom earlier, me and my fiance just got back, and I got gout in one of my right foot. And boy, it's been really giving me a lot of trouble. I've had it now for about 4 days, and the doctor called me in the prescription. I'm going to try to go get here in just a little bit and see if we can't get some relief from that old gout. Leroy, have a great day, and I enjoyed the Q-Zone, my friend. Have a good one. N4, YR Mobile, clear.